Book of 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and another very familiar passage of scripture. But 1 Peter chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 3, and I'm going to read down through verse number 5, but I don't think that we'll cover all those verses this morning, but may have to come back and finish it out tonight. But to get it in perspective and get everything that we're going to touch on this morning, I feel like that we need to read the three verses together. But first Peter chapter number 1, and beginning in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept with the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so that's reading 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 3 through 5 this morning, and we do desire your prayers that the Lord would help us this morning that we might be able to speak the words that he's given us to speak and preach the preaching that he bids us to preach this morning. If you'd bow your head, we'd ask God's blessing on the word. Heavenly Father God, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity once again to be in your house. Thank you, Heavenly Father God, this morning for the good Sunday school, and Lord God, for the wonderful choir singing this morning, Lord, and God, your great blessing, Father, in the singing this morning. And Father God, I thank you for each and every one that's gathered out to the house of God this morning. And Father, we pray for those many that are not able to be here because of sickness, because of hindrance, Lord. And Father God, I pray you'd help them, Lord, and strengthen them. You'd touch them, Father. God, all these many that are sick, Lord, that you would lay your hand upon them. And Lord, that you would bring healing to them this morning. And Heavenly Father God, I pray that you'd help us this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray, God, that you would lay your hand upon me, your servant, this morning. I confess unto thee, I'm nothing, I'm less than nothing, Lord. I'm not able to do anything. But, oh God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I pray, God, that you'd help me this morning. And bless your word. Have your good will in your way in this service, Lord. And Father God, whatever that you do, we'll thank you. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it all, because you're worthy. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen and amen. Looking at verse number 3 this morning, and just a few things that we find. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, these three verses, they're just power-packed and full and rich this morning. And as I said, we'll not be able, I'm sure, to cover all three verses this morning. But I want to look at just a few things that God has for us here in this passage. We notice here that he tells us in verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved friend, I want to say, thank God, that word blessed, as we've made mention of before, when we say bless the Lord, we're saying, amen, not that the Lord would receive some kind of benefit from us, as it is when God blesses you and I. But when we bless the Lord, we're praising the Lord. We're giving honor and giving glory and praise unto him. And I want to do that this morning, beloved. Amen. I want to give unto him the glory and the honor and the praise that's due unto him. He's worthy this morning of all praise and honor and glory. Amen. There's not anything that I can do or that you can do, my beloved, that we might deserve God or might merit salvation. But beloved, amen, it's all because of what he did, not because of what you and I have done. It's because of what God, amen, the Father hath done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, when he sent him into this world, amen, my beloved, to bleed and to die on the cross of Calvary, that we might be saved, that we, my beloved, amen, Jesus Christ came into this world, amen, Paul said, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I'd like to join Paul in that. I'm nothing this morning, and I'm less than nothing in and of myself. And the scripture said that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. See, I can't be good, and you can't be good this morning. There's not anything good about you and I, my beloved, in our flesh. I'm talking about in this Adamic nature, my beloved friend. There's not anything good about us. I mean, the scripture tells us there is none good. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none righteous. No, not one. So if we're saved this morning, my beloved friend, and we can stand before one another and we can the world, and we can declare that we are saved this morning and we belong to God. It's not because of what we've done. It's not because of what we can accomplish, my beloved friend, but it's because of what he did for us on the cross of Calvary when he shed his last blood for us. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to give praise and glory and honor unto him. Amen. Paul writing to Timothy, amen, 1 Timothy 1 and 17, he said, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise be glory." Thank God. Amen. He's the one that's worthy of the glory and the honor and the praise of this morning, my beloved friend. And then Revelation 4 and 11, amen, the 24 elders, they bow before him and say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Amen. You and I, my beloved friend, amen, was brought into this world that we might bring glory and honor to him. That's our reason and our purpose for being, my beloved friend, is that we might honor him. Thank God. That's why he made me, and that's why that he made you, my beloved friend, and why he willed that we should be born into this world, that we might bring praise and honor and glory unto him. I tell you, I want to give him his glory this morning, don't you? Amen. I want to praise the Lord this morning. I praise him this morning. Thank God, amen, for saving my unworthy soul. And I can stand before you this morning, and I can declare without a shadow of a doubt, with all of my heart, I know that I've been born again, that I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, that I've been saved by the grace of God. And one day after a while, when I leave this walk of life, I'm going to go home to be with him. I want to give him the glory and the honor and the praise. He's the one that's worthy this morning. My beloved friend, there's not, my beloved, a man upon this earth that's worthy of real honor and real glory and real praise. And I understand, amen, we give reverence, my beloved friend, to those that are in authority, to those that, my beloved, that hold political office and hold political power, and we're commanded by the word of God to do so, and we're to give deference to them, my beloved friend. And he declared, amen, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar." So we have that duty and that responsibility, amen, beloved friend, to give honor and deference to our leaders, my beloved, and to the law of the land. But I want to tell you, my beloved friend, above all else, we need to give glory and honor and deference unto the great God of heaven, my beloved friend. He's the one, amen, that made all things. He's the one, my beloved, this morning. Thank God that we owe praise and honor and glory and deference and obedience to above all else on this earth. I want to give him praise, and I want to give him glory, and I want to give him honor. Notice here what he said. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, amen, from the dead. I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, amen, you can't be begotten again until you are begotten the first time. And you and I, beloved, are in this world, and we were born in this world, amen, and came into this world not by happenstance, and my beloved friend, not by some great cosmic accident, beloved, or anything like that, but we came into this world and were born into this world because God, amen, the Father, willed it so, my beloved. We're here because God wanted us to be here, and he said, my beloved friend, that he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Thank God. Amen. And to be begotten again, you must first be begotten the first time. Amen. And as Brother Steve this morning, amen, and Jeremiah 1 and 5, and Trina sent me a text the other day and asked me what my favorite verse was, and I responded, I really don't have any one favorite verse, but I want to tell you, amen, that Jeremiah 1 and 5 that Brother Steve referred to this morning, amen, that's one of my favorites, thank God, of the many that stand out to me. Amen. God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and I ordained thee a prophet, amen, to the nations. I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, that God knew me and you, amen, before that we were ever born, amen, before we were ever formed in the belly. I thank God, God knew us, my beloved friend, and he had a purpose for our life, and he had a thing, my beloved, that he wanted you and I to do, and he brought us into this world that we might bring glory and honor and praise unto him. What a blessing that is. Thank God he made us this morning. Amen. What a blessing that is. We are begotten by him. We came into this world, amen, because it was his will. Amen. And thank God, beloved friend, Genesis 1 and 1, amen, says it all, my beloved friend. Amen. In the beginning, God, I want to tell you this morning the reason that you're here this morning, and the reason that you're breathing, amen, the reason that the blood is still coursing through your veins, amen, the reason, my beloved, that your heart is still beating is because God, amen, willed it so, and because he made it possible this morning that it might be so. Thank God, what a blessing that is. I want to tell you this morning, I'm glad, amen, that God made me and he made you. Amen. I do not believe in evolution this morning. I do not believe in the so-called Big Bang Theory. I'm here to tell you this morning, I know, I thank God that I have been fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. I know that God, amen, created all things. What a blessing that is. Yes, my beloved friend. Amen. God said in the beginning, amen, in the beginning, God, amen, created the heavens and the earth. And then, my beloved friend, he said, let there be. And there was. What a blessing that is. Thank God. And all I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, amen, in Genesis 1 and 26, and God said, amen, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so God, my beloved friend, amen, created man. Thank God. Amen. Male and female, the scripture declares. Amen. Created he them. And the Bible said that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What a blessing that is. I'm here this morning, amen, because God willed that I be here. Amen. You're here this morning, amen, because God willed that you be here. And my beloved friend, the reason that the sun rose this morning, amen, is because God willed it so. Amen. The reason, my beloved friend, that this earth is still spinning on its axis is because God, amen, willed it so. And the reason that it's still revolving around the sun, amen, is because because God, amen, will it so. And the scripture said that he is upholding all things by the word of his power. That means that he's holding everything up this morning, amen, about this universe by Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Amen, the living word. What a blessing that is. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same that was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. I want to tell you, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was the one that stepped out on nothing, thank God, and made everything. What a blessing that is. Yes, amen. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, amen, from the dead. Aren't you glad, amen, that you can say this morning and you can declare that you have been born again? He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, thank God, I'm glad, amen, that I can say that I have been born again. Amen, what a blessing that is. James 1:18, he said of his own will, how begat he us, what? Amen, by the word of truth. Thank God, I'm glad that I've been begotten by this gospel this morning, thank God, by the precious word of the living God. What a blessing that is. Romans 1:16, the apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. I do not stand before you this morning, my beloved friend, amen, saved in the sight of God because of my goodness and because of what I can do, but because of what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary when he shed his last blood for me. What a blessing that is. And all he has declared, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I want to tell you this morning, my beloved friend, amen, nobody ain't going to be a friend to you like Jesus will. Amen. He came into this world and took upon himself a body of flesh. He walked down here 33.5 years and did what I could not do and what you could not do, in that he pleased God the Father perfectly, thank God. And he made his way up Calvary's brow, and he hung there between the heavens and the earth, that I might be redeemed, and that you might be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. What a blessing that is. Amen. I'm so blessed this morning coming down the road. A lot of times I can't get a good signal, but this morning I got a good one. And I'm so blessed coming down the road listening to Brother Pat, amen, preaching as he began to talk about the blood. Amen. And he began, and I guess maybe he's the one I got it from. Amen. But it comes from a song. Amen. What shall wash away my sin? Amen. Nothing but the blood. Amen. What can make me whole again? Amen. Nothing but the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood. Amen. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. Amen. Lose all their guilty stain. What a blessing. I thank God for the blood of Jesus, amen, that washed away my sin this morning. And I stand before him justified in the sight of God, just as though I'd never sinned, not because of my righteousness, amen, not because of my goodness, because I don't have any. Amen. Paul said, I know that in me, and that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen. That's how I am, and that's how you are. But oh, there was one that was holy, He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He's made higher than the heavens. He did no sin. And neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Oh, I want to tell you, I praise him this morning. Thank God. He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. What a blessing that is. Amen. 1 Peter 1:23 said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Well, you remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3 came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, amen, he cannot enter into, amen, the kingdom of heaven. I want to tell you this morning, thank God, you must be born again. There must be a conversion. Amen. How sad it is that so many today, they have vain, empty religion this morning. And oh, listen, my beloved friend. Amen. I looked at the note there as Brother Steve was reading the passage where that Paul talked about how that he had profited above many his own nation in the Jews' religion. And I went down and looked at the note in my Bible, and the bottom of that note, it declared that everywhere that religion is mentioned, save for the book of James, it's always a negative connotation. And this is what James said. He said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, amen, to visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted, amen, from the world. And every other mention of religion in the Word of God, it's a negative mention this morning. I want to tell you, my beloved friend, you can have religion and die lost and go to a devil's hell this morning. Somebody said, preacher, I believe that there's a God. Amen. James declared, thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, the devils of hell have religion this morning, but it does them no good. Amen. I want to tell you, honey, amen, man's religion, man's traditions, amen, man's institutions, my beloved, they'll get you nowhere with God. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, Paul said, I was exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. I excelled above many of mine own nation in the Jews' religion. Paul was a religious man. But I want to tell you, he was lost until he met the Lord on that Damascus road, my beloved. Oh, I want to tell you, you can be religious this morning and die lost and go to a devil's hell. Amen. One of the greatest things that always bothered me when I asked somebody if they knew the Lord was to get this answer, well, I'm a Baptist, or well, I'm a Methodist, or well, I'm a Pentecostal, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm this, or I'm that. Amen. That don't tell me anything other than you've got a religion. That don't tell me whether you're saved or whether you're lost this morning. I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't have religion. I've got salvation. Yeah, I like that song. Give me that old time religion. But I'm here to tell you, honey, I don't have religion. I've got salvation by the grace of God. I believe that we are saved by grace through faith. Amen. Plus nothing. Amen. Minus nothing this morning. By grace alone. Through faith alone. In Jesus Christ. And the finished work of the cross of Calvary. That's the only thing going to save you this morning. You got to put your faith and your trust in Him. Amen. There's many. And one of them almost died for his tradition this morning. I'm talking about an Eastern Orthodox priest. You probably heard about it in Australia. He had been speaking out against Islam. And a teenage Muslim came in while he was going through whatever ceremony he was going through, the mass or whatever it was, and tried to stab him to death. Fortunately, the knife malfunctioned and he wasn't able to kill him. But I want to tell you, he was willing to die for his religion. But I'm here to tell you, honey, unless he's saved by the grace of God, his religion is in vain. There's many in the Eastern Orthodox tradition and many in the Western, amen, Roman Catholic tradition this morning, and some in the Anglican tradition and other traditions this morning that are going in to some man today and confessing their sin to him through some little screen and seeking absolvence of their sin from that man. And they'll go out of that booth just as much a sinner and just as guilty in the sight of God as when they went in. After they go out, my beloved friend, it'll do you no good. You can take the Eucharist. Amen, my beloved friend. You can eat the wafer. You can drink the wine. Amen, you can be baptized, my beloved friend, in every pool and river and lake in the country. And die lost and go to the devil's hell. And you cannot be saved until you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. When the Word of God declares, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby how we must be saved. Oh, listen, that Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 sprang in and asked for a light and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul's answer was, he didn't tell him to join the church. He didn't tell him to be baptized. Amen. He didn't tell him, my beloved friend, to take the Lord's Supper. He didn't tell him to do Hail Marys. Amen. He didn't tell him to go see the priest. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house." Another favorite scripture of mine, amen, is Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. And it's repeated in other places in the Word of God. "Whosoever, amen, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a blessing that is. I want to tell you, all we got to do is just believe on Him. Call upon Him. Confess to Him that we're a sinner. Ask Him to save us. Believe that He died for us according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we can be saved by the grace of God. What a blessing that is. Amen. He hath begotten us again. Thank God, amen, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to tell you this morning, thank God, I'm glad that if we're saved by the grace of God, if we put our faith and our trust in Him, we have hope this morning. Amen, Hebrews 6:19-20. He said, "Which hope we have, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, have made him high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, listen, the scripture said that he hath entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What a blessing that is. I think that it was Easter Sunday that I was preaching and talking about how that, amen, Mary, after the other ladies had left, Mary, first of all, when they came and saw the angel roll the stone away and sit upon it, she ran back to tell them what the angel had said. And then the other women started back, but Mary came back to the tomb. And she was standing there at the tomb, and she was weeping, and she saw Jesus, and she supposed that he was the gardener. And she said unto him, "Oh, tell me where you've taken him, where you've laid him, that I may go and bear him hence." And Jesus called out to her and said her name, said Mary. And she recognized him, and she would have ran, and she would have held him by the feet. But he told her, he said, "Touch me not, Mary. Don't you touch me, Mary. For I have not yet ascended. But you go and tell my disciples that I ascend unto my Father and their Father and my God and their God." Oh, what a blessing that is. Thank God he took that blood that he had shed on the cross of Calvary, and he carried it into heaven itself. Thank God, and he entered into the holy place in heaven itself, my beloved, and took that blood and poured it out upon the mercy seat for me and for you. And thank God we're redeemed this morning. If we put our faith and our trust in him and in his death, burial, and resurrection, amen, thank God that blood of Jesus Christ has washed away our sin. And every one of us this morning, not because of what we've done, not because of any desert, amen, that we have, not because of any worth that we have, but because of him, because of what he did on the cross of Calvary, we stand before God holy. We stand before God righteous this morning in the sight of a holy God because of what Jesus did.
Amen.
What a blessing that is. And he has declared, "It's not according to works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." I want to tell you something this morning. Amen. There's men, my beloved friend, that are standing this morning. They're preaching a prosperity gospel, and some women too. Amen, my beloved. Amen, though they have no right to preach according to the word of God. Amen, but we've got false prophets standing this morning. Amen, and preaching a prosperity gospel this morning. And telling, giving people a feel-good message. And trying to build up their self-esteem. And make themselves think that there's something in the sight of God. When they're nothing this morning, I'm here to tell you there ain't nothing good about me. I'm talking about in this Adamic flesh, this human nature, there's not anything good about me, and there's not anything good about you this morning. And the only thing that we can do is fall upon the mercy of a holy God and confess unto him that we're sinners and cry out to him for mercy. Well, I want to tell you this morning, all we can do is throw ourselves on the mercy of the court. I want to tell you this morning, thank God. Amen. He didn't just give me a pardon. Amen. The President of the United States for a federal crime and the governor of a state for a state crime can absolve people of the penalty for their crime and can give them a pardon. Amen. And they don't have to pay the sentence for that crime. But I want to tell you, we have a saying that God signed our pardon. Yeah, He did, but He did more than that. Amen. You see, my beloved friend, if you are pardoned by the President of the United States or by the Governor of the state of Tennessee or Virginia, this morning, my beloved friend, it will always be on your record that you were convicted of whatever that crime was. And there will be a record there that you were pardoned and forgiven for that thing. But it'll always be there. But I'm here to tell you, God went one better than that. My Jesus went one better than that. Amen. He took my sin out of the way. He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and contrary to us and took it out of the way. Amen. Nailing it to His cross. He bore my sin in His body on the tree. And when I stand before Him in judgment, I'll not stand to give an account for my sin. My sin was judged at Calvary. I'll give an account at the judgment seat of Christ for my stewardship and for what I've done with the gift of salvation that He's given me. But I will never answer again for my sin. My sins are gone. If you've been saved by the grace of God, your sins are gone. He cast our sin as far as the east is from the west, never have to be remembered against us again. What a blessing that is. Amen. We can go back and we can look at men in the Old Testament, and God records them in the Faith Hall of Heroes in Hebrews chapter 11. And you can go back in the Old Testament and you can, like David, amen, like Moses, amen, and others, my beloved friend, you can read how the stories of their lives, and in many of those accounts you can find where that they failed God. Abraham went back down to Egypt, amen, when God told him to stay in the promised land. Amen. Moses, my beloved friend, amen, smote the rock. God only said smite it once, but He smote it again. And God wouldn't allow him to go in to the promised land. David stole Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and set it up that he might be killed in the battle, my beloved friend. But you turn over to the New Testament when it refers to these great men, and you'll not find any account of the bad that they did. Why? Because God forgave them and He washed it away. I want to tell you this morning, we will give an account for our stewardship, but we will never, once our sins are under the blood drippings of Calvary, we will never, amen, face our sin again. What a blessing that is. Thank God, I'm glad that my sins are gone this morning. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm glad I've got a lively hope this morning. Thank God, we ought to be willing to praise Him. We ought to be willing to give Him the glory and the honor and the praise that's due unto His name. What a blessing that is. Amen. He hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad that I've got this hope by the resurrection. I'm not serving some dead prophet, my beloved friend. I'm not serving some dead teacher. I'm not serving some dead, amen, rotted in his grave, a founder of a great religion or system of philosophy this morning. Thank God, I'm praising my Lord And I'm serving my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for my sins according to the Scriptures. I was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. I'm serving a resurrected Savior.
Amen.
Amen. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. What a blessing that is. Thank God I'm glad I've been begotten again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I serve a risen Savior. My Savior's alive this morning. Amen. Thank God he's alive, and he's alive and well. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father where he ever liveth. Amen. To make intercession for the saints. What a blessing that is. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Revelation 20:6. He said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. I thank God that I took part in that first resurrection. And I misspoke last Sunday. I didn't catch it until I was trying to edit the video from last week. But I made a statement and I was thinking things in my head and I didn't say completely what I wanted to. You see, I made the statement that there's at least 7 years between the first and the second resurrection, and that was a mistake. What I was thinking about in that regard, you see, the first resurrection, it began with Jesus. Amen. When he arose from the dead, that was the beginning of the first resurrection. Thanks be unto God when he comes, amen, back to catch away his bride, and he raises, amen, the same dead that have been saved of all the ages at that time. That's a continuation of the first resurrection. 7 years later, at least, when the tribulation saints are resurrected, that is a continuation of the first resurrection. There is at least 1,007 years in between the first resurrection and the second resurrection. And there's two, my beloved. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, one of the just and another of the unjust. Thank God I'm glad that I've got part in that first resurrection. He said, on such the second death hath no power. What is that, preacher? It's hell in the lake of fire this morning, my beloved friend. Amen. At the close of the millennium, after the battle of Gog and Magog, when God burns up, amen, this world, my beloved friend, and the elements melt with fervent heat, and the heavens and the earth flee away, and their place is found no more. All the dead, small and great, shall stand before God. And the book shall be opened, and another book shall be opened, which is called the Book of Life. And the dead shall be judged out of the things contained in the books. And whosoever is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be cast into a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. But because we're saved by the grace of God, we don't have to go there this morning. If we've been saved, we don't have to go there. Why? Because we've been redeemed. But I want to tell you, my beloved friend, Jesus has declared, if you die in your sin, where I am, there you cannot come. Jesus said, except you believe that I'm he, ye shall die in your sins. And where I am, there you cannot come. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, I'm glad that I've made my peace, call, and election. Sure, I'm glad I know him in the free pardon of sin.